SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM, 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, too, stevebick.com. I'm still getting used. I got this new headset. We laid the old headset to rest last week on Friday. That was my headset, literally, I bet you, over 10 years. So I'm getting used to the new headset, and it squeezes my head. And in fact, the cans, the two earpieces, they sit together. So I don't really hear when it's sitting off to the side. I can't hear the chatter as much as with the other set, which was loose. And, you know, after 10 plus years of being dragged around, it gets to a point. So I'm adjusting. Adjusting to the first. I shouldn't really call it the first trip of the year, but for some reason, after Breeders' Cup, you get the sense that, you know, that it's the next year, even though we've got, you know, a few more weeks. You know, even the opening at Santa Anita feels like next year. I mean, December 26th, and, you know, plenty of horses angling toward the Malibu and the La Brea, etc. But head out tomorrow and really getting excited about what is shaping up as a fabulous pair of grade ones. Well, I take that back, right? The Futurity got clicked down to a grade two, but the Futurity and the Starlet are going to be really good. And I've been sort of pointing toward a thousand words Honor AP. Those are the two we've mentioned, but Steve Anderson and Jay Privman with a little blurb in the form. I forgot that Blaine Wright was going to go. You know, we talked to Blaine a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, after Breeders' Cup, and Odor is participating. And so is Wrecking Crew. So you got Breeders' Cup top finishers. You've got the emergent Baffert player in Thousand Words. You got eight rings. Baffert, pressing forward with eight rings. And Honor AP, I mean, just even if nobody else shows up, those five are, that's a heady group. And on the Philly side, you know, Dona Veloce, but Baffert bringing back Bast. So you got the second and third place finishers from both juvenile races. And Baffert also is going to go with Gingham in there at Starlet. There had been speculation. And Leocothia also. So, you know, there's four nice names for the Starlet without the rest of it even filling out. So it should be fun. And I've come to really enjoy the Los Al December run. It is going to be a little odd because it's coming in advance of the trip to University of Arizona, which will be on the backside, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. So whether it's the last trip of the year or the first trip of next year, I don't know. Staggered however you like it. There's also a couple of things that we can look forward to on the you know, the shifting sands, the shifting scheduling, and the opening today at Turfway Park. And boy, oh boy, taking root immediately, the, you know, soon to be born again Turfway. And if you haven't looked at the cards, just to get going, they're very nice and big, bulky, full fields, and nothing like kicking the maiden special weight purses up to $46,000 and immediately seeing dividends. So, yeah, top to bottom, you also see, and I know it's a transitional time of year where, you know, some horses, you know, may ultimately get down toward Fairgrounds and Tampa and Gulfstream, ultimately Oaklawn in January. We'll talk plenty on Friday to Hammer. Of course, we're going to see Hammer days later at Arizona. But, you know, the Oaklawn season already, you know, already well known. How many prominent names are going to head to Oaklawn with strings? And I didn't even bring it up yesterday with Shug, because we had discussed it. We had discussed it the last time Shug was on in October or late September, when he talked about going down there. And of course, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a homecoming for Shug. And you know, he trained for John Ed Anthony early on, and he'll be a force. The big, you know, the official, and again, Steve Anderson talking to Jerry Hollendorfer, who is going to bring a full string, a couple dozen horses, to Oaklawn and basically make it the winter focus. It's going to be very interesting. There's going to be a lot of new names, and as competitive as the Oaklawn seasons have been, they're going to be, I mean, super competitive. It just, you know, fold in the kinds of horses that Hollendorfer is going to bring, and Mark Glatt is going with some, John Sadler, Peter Miller, Phil D'Amato, Baltus, unbelievable. Should be just incredible. End of January, so we got a good 7 weeks before Oaklawn. But in the meantime, I think you're gonna have to look at Turfway. Starts with a maiden special today. A mile and a quarter is the opener. They got eight for that. But then non-winners of two, lifetime claimer, 12 horses, two AEs. Another claimer going a mile, 12 horses, two AEs. A 15,000 non-winners of two lifetime going short, fillies and mares, 12 horses, two AEs. Maiden special, a mile for boys, 12 with two AEs. It's unbelievable. Claiming allowance, the sixth race, 12 horses, two AEs. And the same 12 and two AEs in the allowance seventh, and in the maiden, nickel maiden going short closeout. Unbelievable. You got eight in the first, and then the next seven races, 12 each. That, you know, you can't beat full field. Same thing, more or less, on day two as well. You know, don't know if this kind of population is going to, you know, hold throughout the winter, but it sure feels like it's going to, based on, you know, some of the quotes. We should get a hold of Chip Bock, and you know how excited that morning after, you know, the news came that Churchill was buying Turfway and was going to rebuild. It's it's gonna be hard not to, you know, try to make, you know, make Turfway at least, you know, I think you have to at least look at these fields. It's just too productive. And we'll talk to Dick tomorrow, actually. And I bring Dick up regarding Turfway just because of the synthetic, you know, the synthetic horses from the summer and fall, Arlington and Presque. And you get, you know, you get quite a few. So, you know, the circuit, add in Woodbine, you know, the circuit of synthetic option main track horses. And boy, just look, you know, just looking at the horsemen, you know, that are entered here the first couple of days. I mean, that's got to be really encouraging. Ben Colebrook, Dale Romans, Charlie Lopresti, Jason Barkley, Mike Maker, Joe Sharp. David Fox. How about that? $52,000 allowance. That says what, you know, says all you need to know. Vicky Oliver, Jack Sisterson, Jim Chapman, Gary Sims, Brian Lynch, McPeak. It's going to be John Ortiz, going to be very competitive, I think. Boy, I'm impressed, and we'll be looking at, because I typically will pull up all the, you know, all of the maiden specials, you know, and even at the B tracks, because you don't, you know, you just got to keep. This all really started with Ellis when Ellis, three, four, five summers ago, and, you know, looking at the maidens, the 2 year olds. So this is, that's exciting. And I'm happy for the, you know, the sets of connections that, you know, get to stay home. Don't forget, you know, if you're an owner in and around Kentucky and, you know, on the circuit, you know, you want to see your horses. You want to, even if it's in February and the weather's lousy, on a cold Friday night at Turfway, you want to see your horses. So being able to stay home and run for quality purses, that's a winner. Racing today as well down at Gulfstream, and they're getting ready for, you know, things to kind of, this last opening, you know, the opening weekend was kind of a, call it a soft opening, the way the calendar fell. But it's going to be a fun weekend. Looking forward to talking to Mike Welch, because the Cup de Caribe, which has become a big deal, as Mike has said. Then you got Claiming Crown coming. You got the first couple of big weekends today. Today's, you know, just kind of a fairly mundane. It's a first level allowance going as the eighth. So, and the ninth too is a decent allowance. Looking ahead to the other weekend draw that is going to be significant, of course, is in New York. Let's keep this weather. Gotta stay dry here a couple more days so we can get some turf, these last few turf races in, you know? We're going to talk to Sid Fernando today and get Sid back on the docket. after at least two weeks off. And Mike Stidham, we're going to catch up with Stidham after somehow blowing the turn yesterday. So we'll talk to Stidham next and get him caught up, congratulate him on his 2,000th win and more. And, you know, we got other news. Sure, a lot of people yesterday, I got nice feedback about Chuck, you know, kind of wading into this Industry Answers segment. And anything, you know, anything you don't understand about the game or you just are mystified by, don't be shy to write, tweet at us, whatever you want to do. And Chuck famously pulls no punches. With Sid today, by the way, you know, he hasn't been around for us to talk about the California Chrome. You know, Steve Haskin discussed it, and we you know, reacted to Steve's thoughts, but Sid's going to flesh out a little bit more about, you know, the business aspect and you know, the quick triggers, frankly, on that are involved. On Stallion decisions. Mike Stidham starts us off, though. Seth Merrill later, too. Haven't talked to Seth in a few weeks. He was under the weather over the weekend. At the Races, just getting going. Midweek, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com. Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes in to the Wednesday get together, and we promised a Mike Stidham visit. And you know, I was tracking Stidham on his way to 2,000 wins, and then we didn't get a chance to talk. Well, I'm glad we didn't, because then we wouldn't have had an opportunity to congratulate him about winning the Jimmy Durante, going back to Saturday at Del Mar with Alms, who continues to march along beautifully. Mike, good morning. Congratulations. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Yeah, had a great Thanksgiving, and it was a great weekend.
Capped off by another terrific performance, out to a mile now, and this is for some degree a horse that seems under, you know, for a horse that's 3 for 3, he seems underappreciated.
Well, I'll tell you what, we appreciate her very much. We've liked her from the day she stepped in our barn. And she just keeps, every time we raise the bar, she steps up and does it really impressively, like she did the other day. So we love having her.
Well, and there's a part of, you know, there's quite a few parts of this that made for an incredible Saturday, not the least of which was Paco Lopez's contribution.
Yeah, no, he rode very well, obviously winning 3 graded stakes on the card and started off with us, so we were happy to have him.
Hey, talk about her development, Godolphin Homebred, of course, and out of the Empire Maker Charity Bell, the last crop of City Zips, and really feels after the move to a mile that there's no telling what she is.
Yeah. Well, first off, City Zip has been very good to us. We had working for Hops years ago. And then
wow.
We had Tessa, who we won the grade one with. So City Zip has treated us really, really well over the years. And we think that Alms could be, good enough next year, hopefully, to compete in some of the top-level 3-year-old filly turf stakes. But she's been one of those fillies that from the minute she got in the barn, she did everything right. We liked her going into her first race. That's why we shipped her to Belmont to break her maiden. Went right back and was able to win the matron at Belmont with her. And really, there at no point did we think a mile was going to, hurt her. It was going to, we felt like the added distance was only going to help her. And she showed that in the race, that she just laid in a forward position and then drew off at the end, in a hand ride. So we think she's got a real big future.
What was the considerations toward Breeders' Cup?
Well, actually, we were planning to enter, and on the Friday, we had pre-entered for the Breeders' Cup.
Right.
And on the Friday before she was going to ship, which was the Saturday before the Breeders' Cup, a week out, the morning she was going to work, we got to the barn and she had 103 temperature. Mm. So that was the end of any Breeders' Cup plans. We didn't even wait around to try to see if, she was going to be okay. We would have had to have worked her that day and then put her on a plane the next day. And with 103 temperature, both of those things were taken out of consideration at that point. So the interesting thing, though, on Ragas and Numbers, the winner of the Breeders' Cup, Sharing, ran an 11 and a quarter Ragas and Number. And when Alms won this past weekend, she ran a 10 and three quarters on the Ragas and sheet. So we felt, based on that, we felt going into the race, and we felt definitely after the race that we fit in that Breeders' Cup race, and I think we had a good shot of winning it if we had been able to run.
Yeah, and in some cases, you know, it can turn out to be, you know, a blessing to some degree. You don't know.
Right.
You speculate and you just go forward. But
right.
There's a lot about her stylistically that is to me really impressive. I mean, she's won by open lengths in these yeah. three victories, and she doesn't need the lead by any stretch. She's seems rateable. She's won for three
yeah.
different riders. There's a lot going on here, Mike.
Yeah, no, she's a very classy young filly. She's certainly going a mile and further. She's going to be tactical where she can be right near the lead in a good tactical spot. She doesn't need the pace to be set up for her. So she's got a lot of things in her favor, and we feel at this point that the sky's the limit for her. We really do.
You know, a couple of things about this particular win, and you know, one being back to Paco Lopez, who you use. I mean, it's not it wasn't an out of the ordinary. Not only do you use him, you seem to connect with him pretty well. And it was also first Lasix for her. What prompted that per se?
She in between her the Matron win and going into this race. We scoped her after one of her works, and she had a trace of blood on the scope. So we, at that point, you know, obviously that's my criteria. We've been starting a lot of our two-year-olds without Lasix and then just watching closely in the morning and after their races for any blood. And when we see it, then we put them on Lasix. I mean, and so she showed a trace, so we put her on.
Simple enough. And now with this win in tow, talk a little bit about where she heads and what kind of target you've got in mind and you know, going out further. I mean, certainly the way she finishes her races and given, you know, given the dam, given Charity Bell and her heritage, it feels like she can, you know, keep stretching out, and I'm sure something like the Belmont Oaks is a long-range goal.
Absolutely. Those are the kind of races we're going to be looking at, and she's already been flown back from California. She's in my barn at the fairgrounds as we speak, and you know, we're going to give her a little bit of a freshening right now because there's not a lot turf-wise coming up for two-year-olds or early three-year-olds, so we're probably going to freshen her a little bit here in New Orleans. And then gradually get her started back up and look at races like maybe the Florida Oaks for her first start back possibly. And that, but that's not until, that race isn't until March.
March.
I mean, there is a listed stake here at the fairgrounds, that runs in February that we could possibly get her started back in, but nothing's, you know, right now we don't have anything set in stone.
Did you have her sister Hallie Bell. I think
we had,
right?
Hallie Bell. We liked Hallie Bell also. And she started out, really nice. She, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure she didn't make her first start until she was three. And, but she was a stakes winner, and we liked her, but she never really made it the step to that next level. So, but there was a lot of talent with Hallie Bell also. We liked her quite a bit, but she just never was able to, you know, take that step into graded stakes company.
Although she was graded stake placed and listed stake winner. Godolphin, I'm sure, is breeding her, no?
Yeah, yes, they definitely are. And the interesting thing was we got lucky, and at the Keeneland yearling sale, there was a Street Boss yearling out of, which is a half to Alms and Hallie Bell that we were able to buy that was in the sale. So we also have the Street Boss half-sister coming up for next year.
Very nice. Wow.
That's exciting. Yeah.
Well, terrific to finish a season undefeated, and clearly one of the Phillies that will contribute to that very furtive landscape. I mean, the 3-year-old, it's actually, we joke about it on the show, because there's so many restricted 3-year-old Philly turf opportunities throughout the year, you know, culminating with the QE2. It's kind of funny. I mean, every week it seems, as you get into the spring and summer, it's just prolific. So she's going to be a major player.
Yeah, no, I really believe she will be on at the top level.
Well, you mentioned getting home to Fairgrounds, and the season's underway. We'll talk about a couple of results from the opening salvos, but let me also just get a couple of licks in for the other stake that you ran. You ran in the other 2-year-old race with Albert Park. Some thoughts about him.
Well, Albert Park, it was his first time on turf. He had run his previous races on the synthetic at Arlington and Presque Isle. So he was trying two things at the same time, first time going around two turns and first time on the grass. And Florent Giroux wrote him and told me that he just felt he was a little bit green. He didn't really know what he respond to what he was asking of him to do. He waited, tried to split horses with him, and he really didn't give him the response he was looking for, and whether that meant that he just wasn't good enough or just wasn't mentally prepared for what we were asking of him. That I don't know. We'll find out as we progress with him. But, he ran decent, but not good enough to be a, strong contender in the race.
Interesting. I just knowing particularly that dam, that Indy 500, who I remember, well, and this is a serious family, that she's got major sibling strength, and out of Lafarge Delta and Delta Princess and Biondetti,
right.
And she has not been productive as a broodmare. She has not really hasn't really produced herself.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we were happy to get a stakes win into Albert Park to help her out. And, obviously the family has plenty of distance and grass. So we will proceed on with Albert Park and hope that he puts it together and is able to move forward, off of this race.
Wanted to slip that in and then turn our attention back toward what's been going on at the start of the season. Where did you spend Thursday, by the way? Were you at Fairgrounds for opening day?
We were at Fairgrounds. We didn't run anything opening day, but then over the weekend, we had a good weekend and won 3 on the on the day on Saturday. And we were able to win our 2000th win on the weekend at Tampa. Actually, we won that.
Which that was the second reason among many to give you the call and the build up to the 2000 victories. And let me tell you, was the Tampa winner. Reflect on 2000 wins.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a long, hot, dusty road getting there. I've been training over 40 years now, and probably the first 15 to 20 were a struggle, as most young trainers have to find their way. The last 20-some years have been pretty successful, and, I guess you just look at it as you're glad you hang in there and stay around for some of the glory after you put in, the tough years. So it's been a wonderful run, and lately, with this year being our first year to top $4 million in earnings. It's all the hard work and from all my staff and everybody that, you know, plays a big part in it. It's worth the worth all the hard work, and certainly the clients that supply me with the fast horses to win the races. It's a wonderful situation and great operation that we have. So I'm very thankful.
When did the moment come when you talk about struggling in the early portions and trying to, get to a station in the game, where you've got, you got stability and, you feel, that you're not having to run from the feed man, hide out. But what was the moment or the client or the horse that, that you knew to yourself that you were going to make it and that, that you were at a point where you sensed that there was, really even bigger things to come?
Well, certainly I started my career in Southern California, which at the time was the, as good a racing as I think there's ever been at any time in the early 80s. I started my career out there with Charlie Whittingham and Mandela and Laz Barrera and all the, top trainers. And back in the 80s was, the best. I think California had probably the best racing that there's ever been. When you think of the horses that came along, John Henry, Ferdinand, just on and on and on, all the top horses that Charlie and Laz had out there back in those days, with the best riders, Shoemaker, Pink High, Eddie Delahoussaye, so that's where I basically learned the most about the business. And I got an opportunity early on, when I really wasn't ready for it, to train for Elmendorf Farm, which Max Gluck owned at the time. And I remember Richard Mandela coming to me and telling me, hey kid, you better learn how to handle these kind of owners. Max Gluck was a guy that would kind of, steamroll a trainer, and I didn't really know how to handle him. And Mandela kind of took me under his wing and helped me. And I said, Richard, I appreciate the advice, but I'm too young and inexperienced to use your advice, but it certainly helped me down the road that, you have to stand up with an opinion and have a plan as a trainer and tell owners, this is the way we're going to do it. Even when you're stepping out on a limb and the limb might break on you, you have to take a stance. And Mandela's advice has paid off over the years. But along the way, I've had such good people behind me. Probably the biggest help along the way has been John Adger, who
Stoner Side
has, John was managing and ran Stoner Side, and every year John has been there for me in whatever he was involved in to help me along. He got me into the Stoner Side operation with Bob McNair, and then, as Darley, Sheikh Mohammed bought Stoner Side. And then it was years later that I was able to get, my foot in the door with Godolphin. And that probably was the time when I could really say that, when you start getting 22-year-olds led into your barn that are bred, as well as Godolphin breeds their horses, that's when you really feel like, hey, I finally got to the point where I feel like I've made it, and, don't get me wrong. I've trained for Pin Oak and, you know, so many top operations along the way, that it's all been a process of getting, you know, better horses, and that's what's, you know, solidified me in the game. And so, you know, when you have those kind of horses, you know, that I always tell people that fast horses, good horses make trainers look smart. And that's kind of where I'm at this point. I mean, the better the horses, the better I look. And so it's been a great run. And I'm very thankful for all that I've had.
I want to ask you about a name or two as well. Yeah. And before Jim McInvale became Houston's leading horse owner, there was Harold Goodman. And talk about your relationship with Harold.
Well, that is the man that gave me my start in the business. I mean, back in, this is at the very, very beginning in 1980, 79 and 80. My dad actually trained a little bit for Harold Goodman, and it was at that point that Harold asked my father if I could, and this, I'm in my 20s at this point, and he asked my father, can Michael, you know, train my horses in Texas for me? And no, I'm sorry, at Louisiana Downs. And I took two horses for Harold Goodman. I wound up winning stakes with both of them at Louisiana Downs in 1980, the first year that Louisiana Downs had a turf course. And from there, I went to California for Mr. Goodman. And, you know, it progressed on from there, where he sent me to Europe, to France, and I bought Manzotti for him. Manzotti became a successful stallion who in his first crop had two Altozzano. And with two Altozzano, I won my first grade one. So if there's anybody that, you know, is the main person that got me in the business, it was Harold Goodman. He was the man. I mean, he was an amazing man.
And it's funny, right? A Hall of Famer. I mean, a Texas Racing Hall of Fame,
and
just a legendary figure.
And then it's the Goodman family that I'm still training for, that runs, Greg Goodman runs under Mount Brilliant Stable. And we had a winner last weekend here at the fairgrounds with a beautiful tappet filly named Ursula that is owned by the Goodman family. So it's, you know, it's just kind of a revolving door that just keeps on, you know, opening up good things for me.
Now, I'm glad we got him in. John White just sent me a note too. John's the greatest. John pulls out chestnuts. Who's he going to ask? Who does he want to know about?
I'll tell you what. John White was the first reporter. He worked for the Racing Form at the time, and I was at Louisiana Downs in 1980, and I won the stake with a horse called Me Good Man. And Bill Hartack, who's very close to the family, actually flew in for the race, and Bill was in the winner's circle with me in 1980, and John White was there to interview me, and he was like, you know, John was like, what the heck is Bill Hartack doing at Louisiana Downs, you know, in the winner's circle? So it was, John's been a great friend from the very beginning.
I love it. He's also curious. He wants to know about Viterbo.
Viterbo. Yeah.
Viterbo.
That was the other, the two horses that I took to Louisiana Downs was Me Good Man and Viterbo. They were both
owned
by Mr. Goodman, and both of them won stakes at that meet at my first year training, at Louisiana Downs. So it's been a great run from the very
unbelievable.
Beginning.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love it. Well,
yeah.
no signs of letting up either. I mean, you got a lot yet to achieve. I mean, are there goals? You know, explain to people how, you know, how an operation, you know, sets out, you know, whether it's, you know, checking things off of boxes, or, you know, is it strictly a matter of evaluating the talent and then, you know, setting up goals? You know, what else would you like to achieve, Michael? And you know, before
well,
you hang
I
it
mean,
up.
Certainly, you know, the obvious things, which are to win. I've never won a Breeders' Cup race. Certainly to run a horse that is competitive in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, those are the obvious things that every trainer
sure.
wants to do. But at this stage, you know, with the quality of horses that I'm getting now, I realistically feel like I have a chance to, I have a decent chance to accomplish one or more of those goals. Like I say, had Alms gotten in the British Cup this year, I believe she had a very good chance of winning it. So I think I'm close to it, and it would be nice to cap my career off with you know, being competitive in the Breeders' Cup or the or the Kentucky Derby. It'd be beautiful.
Well, you think about horses, you know, Wilcox Inn, recent vintage. He ran he ran in one or two Breeders' Cups.
Yeah, he ran in two of them, and he was third as a 2-year-old in the Breeders' Cup.
That's right. How about that? Well,
interesting Wilcox Inn story was when we ran him and he broke his maiden at Arlington Park. You'll never believe who was in the race with him and finished second to him when he broke his maiden was Animal Kingdom. So there you go. You're at Arlington Park, 2-year-old, two first-time starters, Wilcox Inn and Animal Kingdom in the same race.
Well, you know, and bringing up Wilcox Inn and thinking about Upper Line, I think the key is you got to get clients to name more horses after top restaurants landmark places. that is clearly one of the keys. Talk about a couple of the maiden players from the weekend, and you already mentioned Ursula actually, but there was another maiden winner on Saturday. Who am I forgetting?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember right now who else we won with. We won with Tackett. He was coming off of he wasn't a maiden win, but he was coming off of a layoff and won first time back on the grass, and he was pretty impressive in his win. And then our other maiden, slipped my mind right now. I can't think of the other maiden that we had.
And I actually just found it because I just pulled up the Fairgrounds chartings. You had, well, this was a maiden, not a maiden win, but you got the 2-year-old Cask.
Right.
Made
he ran
second
on the turf for Arthur Hancock and he finished fifth in that race.
He was fifth there. That's right. This is a Union Rags out of Kitty Wine. Joe Sutton partnered up with Arthur.
Joe Sutton is a partner. Yeah.
Very nice. And then there was also a 2-year-old bear with me a second. Oh, Kingpin. Kingpin fourth on Friday.
Right. Kingpin was in trouble down on the rail and was the favorite and never had a shot to get through, but ran well in his second start.
He's a quality road colt. Randy Gallant
Twin Creeks, right?
Twin Creeks, and actually bred by the Barbizons and Will Farish, $190,000. Keeneland Yearling, and give us a couple more of the 2-year-old inventory between now and the end of the year.
Well, we've got a few that are coming up that haven't started yet. We've got another Tappet filly that we like quite a bit coming up for Godolphin, but. You know, the main thing is that we've got such a diversified stable. I mean, we've got some nice 2-year-olds, some nice 3-year-olds coming back for next year. And, I mean, that's the biggest part of it. We got some decent claiming horses. So for a trainer, you know, the best thing to have is, you know, different categories to consistently try to win races with. And that's what, you know, the stable's made up of. That's what we've been, you know, we've been able to do over the years so well.
Well, and that includes a horse like the Last Zip that won the other day.
Exactly. The Last Zip and Tackett will both are two horses that will both be running, planning to run in the Woodchopper here at the end of December, the last straight three-year-old race on the grass at the fairgrounds. So that both of those will be looking at those races.
Should also ask you about earlier in the month, because, you know, you turn up on the East Coast plenty, and the Pumpkin Pie win by Cigarro Row. Is she going to continue as a five-year-old?
We're planning on running her next weekend in the Gopher Juan Grade 3 at Aqueduct.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And then this Friday, we've got another Godolphin City Zip named Pixelate that was second in the stake in his last start, and he's going to run this Friday in a stake at the Aqueduct. He's already entered.
Well, that's the set that, and it's funny because I was on you when you just missed at the big price, and we're not going to get that price
on
Saturday.
I don't think so.
Well, that's a hell, you know, and that it's funny because we've had a number of conversations about that Central Park Stakes. And of course, having been rescheduled, there's been extended opportunities to talk about it. But that that's a salty group.
It is. It is a very competitive race. But we like our horse quite a bit. I think he was unlucky to lose last time because he got shuffled back and was way back in the race. And came flying and another jump, and he was going to win the whole thing. So we're looking forward to running him in that race Friday.
Let me catch up with a couple of starters that are today and the next couple of days. Embossed comes back. The Medaglia d'Oro filly runs today at Tampa.
Yeah. No, she's going to be – I think she's going to improve a lot off of her first race. You know, I think she needed the race both mentally and physically, and I'm looking for a big effort today in that race. I think she'll be forwardly placed, and I think she's got a good shot of winning today.
It brings up a question: is where you're spread around? Tampa and fairgrounds. You're running in New York. You know, this is probably a fairly important filly. I imagine for Godolphin. This is LeCoulin's sister.
Okay, Pixelate.
Embossed.
Embossed. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they, like I say, everything that they bring into the barn, you can be guaranteed that it's out of by a top stallion and most likely a graded stakes winning mare. I mean, it's just unbelievable the pedigrees that they bring into the barn.
Well, how about Rosebud's Hope today in that allowance, the seventh in the feature?
Rosebud's one of those little energizer bunnies that seems to always just get out there and give you a good effort no matter where she runs. So, I think she's live in that spot. It's pretty competitive spot too, other than at Tampa. But, like I say, she goes out there and runs hard every time. So I think she's got a shot.
A couple today, for the Stidham Barn in Boston in the second, and Rosebud's Hope in the seventh. Michael, how about later at Fairgrounds this week? Sense of Self, Barry Golden's Street Sense 2-year-old.
That filly has been one that we liked early. She has not really stepped up and done what we thought she was capable of. We're switching to the grass this time. We tried to get her on grass last time. It was rained off. We're hoping that the grass is going to be what she needs to, take that next step up. So we'll see on her. But we've also got a first-time starter in there named Eleanor Roosevelt that she's trained forwardly very nice up to this race. And if you look at her pedigree, she's out of a mare that was a specialist, sprinting on the turf. So we've got her going we've got Eleanor Roosevelt going 5.5 on the grass, which is what her mother seemed to be best at. And I think she's another one that's very, very live first time out.
I love it. And in fact, you mentioned that mare, Inspired by Grace. And right. I happen to know her. She's a Curlin Will Schwartz campaigned, mainline racing. You bet. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, she's a Leams Map, and certainly Leams Map has had an impactful first crop, and this one could be another, a firster. Boy, you're Michael, you're loaded with maidens coming out. This is crazy. I'm just looking down a couple of maiden claimers, but in New York, Silver Bank as well on Saturday, and then back at Tampa, Megan debuting. Mm-hmm. You've got On the mm-hmm. Muscle at Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
Now, I tell you what, it's we're very lucky to have good clients that are really sending us some really talented horses to run. So very lucky.
Yeah, proven, effective, and successful for a long, long time. We don't have to quantify the four decades, but because it doesn't seem I don't want to say that old, to be honest. It just doesn't seem like it. And of course, it's a family affair for you with Hillary one of the long term successes in the game. Just consistent and does a great job. Mike Stenham, congratulations on 2000 on Elms and what obviously is a vibrant 2020 on the horizon.
Yes, it is. And I really appreciate you having me on the show and continue doing the great job you do.
Too kind. Michael Stenham, everybody. And lots to come, obviously. Boy, there's another 8 or 9 horses I could ask him about that. It's crazy. I didn't even, the ones that have already broken maidens and are obviously, we're going to see early in the winter. But I think we hit the highlights, and we'll be watching for Eleanor Roosevelt. I can tell by the intonation that you're excited.
I think she's going to be live in that spot. The other good news is we just got Synchrony back in off of he had a month off at the farm, and he's going to come back for a 7-year-old campaign.
Wow.
So yeah, it's exciting to get him back and hopefully have him ready here in the next 6 weeks or so to run at the fairground. So
all right,
excited
and then
to have him back.
For those, of course, that are headed to New Orleans for Sugar Bowl or anything else, and I know you're going to say Upper Line because that's your go-to, but give everybody a couple of other pushes too.
I'll tell you what, there's so many great spots. I mean, last night we were actually at a spot that I like on St. Charles called Marcello's. It's a Italian. An Italian restaurant where you go and they have wine bottles all through the restaurant. You go and actually pick your bottle yourself. And they have some really great wines. And the food is fantastic. It's called Marcello's on St. Charles.
I love it.
Mr. B's is always good.
I love
there's just so many good spots. A kind of a off the beaten path place called the Grapevine in the French Quarter. It's just endless spots to go to for a good meal in New Orleans. And one thing about New Orleans is if a restaurant isn't any good, they're not going to be in business long here. So There's a lot of great spots.
It's funny you say that. I asked a streetcar driver.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What's your favorite?" He said, "Oh," he said, "if the door's open, it's good."
Exactly.
He says,
yeah, they don't.
He says, you can't go wrong.
They don't last. They're out of business quick.
Although you know where he ultimately settled. I said, "Well, give me one place," and he went Mandina's.
Yeah, well, Mandina's real old school. Been there forever. And it's kind of a staple, you know, that's been there forever, and it's a great spot also.
Well, I've got another trip coming, and we keep the problem with going to New Orleans on a regular basis is you get a favorite, you keep adding favorites, and there's only so many places you can go. When you're there, it's the best. I'm going to settle on Louisiana Derby this year instead of Risen Star, because Risen Star is Mardi Gras weekend.
Right. Oh my God, that's hectic around Mardi Gras. You can't get anywhere. You know, the road streets are blocked off. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Town. But it's one of those places where you're happy to get to, but you're happy to leave because you partied too much, you ate too much, you drank too much. So it's like, get me out of here.
It's like Vegas and New Orleans.
Yeah.
Mike, this was
great to get there, but great to leave.
Well, I can't hang up with you. So much fun. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you again, Steve, for having me on. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Mike Stidham, 2005 wins now. And who knows? Another 1,000 to come. We'll take a break. Sid Fernando. Haven't talked to Sid in at least 2 weeks. So we'll look forward to Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale. And there's some really cool news about Hillandale. John Secura, we got to get John on before the end of the year because he's involved in this redevelopment of historic property in Bourbon County. If you read about this over the last few weeks, going back to the sale in November. But we'll check in with Sid. We'll get his take on the California Chrome move to Japan. They named the price yesterday, 4 million yen. Yeah. Sid Fernando next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Dunner, rapper, done right, an extinguished crutch of a rolling inside. Yellow fingers, nothing lasts, but nearly everything lingers in life. Cell phone service is not that expensive, but that takes commitment and you just don't have it. Feels so effortless to be a stranger, but feeling foreign, such a lonely habit. You can't crop yourself out of the picture, out of focus, but still framed inside. Well, the end got blurry and my heart started looking for you.
We're back at the races.
Yeah.
About 7 minutes into hour two, an extended visit. This is Parquet Courts, by the way. If you don't know, Berlin got blurry. This is really good, and really good to visit with Mike Stidham. 2,000 wins, and there was so much really to reflect off of the visit, including Mount Brilliant, the legacy of Harold Goodman and John Adger and Stonerside and on and on. And of course, somebody that can intersect with those kinds of names is Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And after a little bit of a end of season, end of breeding sale season and everything else, a little freshening,